All right, it's 2 o'clock. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Thanks everybody for being here today. If you could all please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Lynn, if you could do the roll call.
Yes, sir. Trustee Davis?
Yeah.
Trustee Doherty?
Here.
Trustee Dye?
Here.
Trustee Freckleton?
Here.
Trustee Holness?
Here.
Trustee Howard?
Here.
Trustee Lloyd?
Here.
Trustee Labai?
Here.
Any public participation today?
No requests.
Great, thank you. First off, the consent agenda, I'm going to pull one item. It's the item on page 31, which is a contract between proposed contract between Daytona State College and the Brown Riverfront Esplanade Foundation. I serve on that board also, so I will recuse myself from that one. So for the rest of the consent agenda items, are there any items that...
Motion to approve.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Since agenda passes, and if I could get somebody else to do a motion and second for the BREF one and take the vote.
I'll make a motion for approval of that item.
I second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
One abstain? All those opposed? Motion passes. Dr. Lavasso.
Okay, thank you, and thank you again for a great retreat today. Just some updates. It's certainly been a busy time since our last meeting. We had a I was able to host Dr. Christopher Rolke, the new, not so new, but started in, as the pandemic began, but he's a new president at Stetson University. I was able to host him on campus for lunch and give him a tour of the campus, and and as you'll see here, we have now our second articulation agreement with Stetson in the biology area. Also, one of the agreements that we that you approved was our first articulation agreement with Bethune-Cookman University within our criminal justice program, with another one on its way. So excited about those two agreements that we've been able to secure. Thank you, Dr. Locklear, and your team, for work continuously to work and follow up on those agreements. We had a successful financial and federal audit exit that Dr. Howard was able to attend. We hosted Team Volusia's annual meeting at the Husseini Center, and had an opportunity to present to the City Commission of Deltona the new building that will begin hopefully in the coming months to house our nursing, sonography, machining programs out there. And I was able to have lunch with Frank Keller, the fairly new president of the International Speedway, Daytona International Speedway. Had him on campus, gave him a tour, and going to have some follow-up meetings with him to see what other synergies may be available between the Speedway and Daytona State College. We also hosted the Volusia Hispanic Chamber of Commerce Healthcare Awards here at the Husseini Center, and it was a great crowd, and got to celebrate a lot of the healthcare workers in our community. So it was great to be a host of that event. And last week we held our, since the pandemic, our first student awards convocation where we got to recognize, I can't remember the number of students now, 100 and some odd students, 160 plus students for different academic awards as well as community awards, as well as honoring our faculty and staff for their achievements throughout the past year. And then this morning we hosted the Eggs and Issues 39th Annual Legislative Welcome Back was hosted here at our own Husseini Center. So it was good to have our local delegation here to share with our community the successes and opportunities that we have for our community in the future. And then just, again, I want to note that the Center of Women and Men renamed their department to the Falcon Hope Center, HOPE standing for Home to Opportunity, Possibility, and Empowerment, which I think is so fitting for all the things that happen in that center. And lastly, we're excited that Randy Dye and Daniel Dye are going to be our Lemron Speaker Series featured speakers on April 20th at 9:30 in the Husseini Center. So, Randy, thank you and your son for your willingness to share your life experience and your business experience with you and your son to our students and community. So thank you very much.
You're welcome, and I'm better known as Daniel's dad.
Or Daniel's dad.
But what a day to be a Falcon that day.
Go Falcons.
And then with that, we're going to have our FAME program overview. And Dante Leon, the Associate Vice President over the area that manages that, will give a presentation on our FAME program. As you recall, we spoke a little bit about that today at our retreat, and excited that we are, I think I got our first year under our belt. So, Dante.
Good afternoon, and thank you to the board, and thank you, Dr. Lobasso, for taking time in your agenda to present our FAME program. Today, we're going to give you a brief overview of the program. Then I'm going to introduce the students and also the DSE staff that were critical to the program, and give you a very brief video of one student at his work of employment. Right. So what is FAME? FAME stands for Federation of Advanced Manufacturing Education. What is AMT? AMT is the acronym for Advanced Manufacturing Technician. Basically, this is a training program that was developed by Toyota several years ago, 2005, to better prepare their workers for specific job codes at their Kentucky assembly plants. Eventually, the program grew, and then it's become more widespread in several states across the nation. So the basic structure is there is an employer chapter composed of several local employers that form the chapter, and they get together with a college to deliver the instruction. And there were several individuals that were very pivotal to the making of this chapter. One of them is our trustee, Doherty, which is here. She was part of the original team that created the chapter. Another one is my colleague, Dr. Weems, who hosted the initial strategy meetings. Another person is here, Mr. Frank Mercer over the corner, attended several of the meetings, and he also represented the college at the FAME Academy in Indiana. It was a week-long training. So it was the effort of all these individuals from the entire college and also the community that created this program. Additional members that came later down the road is the VMA, under the leadership of Jane Pfeiffer, with her strong ties to the Volusia County schools, did a wonderful job in populating this first cohort with high school students. We are the first chapter. The name of the chapter is the Florida Sunshine. So we have a nice sunshine logo developed by Doherty. It was the designer for Doherty Manufacturing. And then we are the first chapter and so far the only chapter in existence in Florida State. And we're very proud of that because we are always like to see Daytona State leading the way. Okay, so the next step is, this gives you a very brief overview. This is kind of the dated map. I think right now there are about 34 chapters in this this part of the United States. We're here, you see over there we have Volusia County and we have Daytona State College, and then there is potentially another chapter in Florida that is coming up. It will be the Gulf Coast chapter, and is based in Panama City in collaboration with Gulf Coast State College. Okay. So to give you a better idea of how the program works is, basically the students attend AAS degree with us, the AAS in Engineering Technology. And then what happens is each student is interviewed and also gets offered a job with a local company. They go to work 3 days a week, and then they go to schools 2 days a week. During their school time, they cover the regular curriculum of the AS degree, but also they cover the FAME-specific topics. They all move together as a cohort, which is really good for retention. And then at the end of 5 semesters, they end up with an AS degree, and then sometimes they can end up with a permanent job at the company that they interned for. Throughout these 5 semesters, they also need to meet GPA standards and attendance standards to remain in the program. And then with regards to the FAME content, this is what makes the difference between a regular degree and a FAME program. You're going to see five topics. Each semester has a theme. So during that semester, the students are going to do a lot of learning activities around that theme, either at school or at the workplace. At the end of the semester, they prepare a final report and they present that report to their employers. And then at the end, it's also important, what you see there is the professional behaviors. The professional behaviors are woven throughout the entire five semesters. It's the soft skills, you know? Being dependable, in attendance, on time, be a good team player, good communication skills. Those are the soft skills that sometimes they're lacking in some of our students. So this is what makes the difference, yeah? To give you a little more perspective, Florida is probably the best, it is the best college system in the nation. So we already have very good AES degrees. Daytona State has a very good AES degree in engineering technology. Now, when you layer this type of content with a constant reinforcement between the workplace and the college, you end up with an individual that has already 2 years of work experience. And on top of that, already has a culture of safety, a culture of quality, and a culture of efficiency built in, which makes, in the FAME parlance, is called the global best worker. That's what we have. It's a multi-skilled technician that is global best. Okay. So now I want to introduce the people that make this happen. So we have Mr. Anindya Paul, which is the department chair. He is responsible for the AS degree. We have Professor Rafael Palay, teaches electronics, robotics topics. We have Ms. Wendy Samuel. She's our advisor for work-based learning, in charge of coordinating the recruitment activities, and also, very important, providing support to the students. Then we have Professor Alec Baldwin, teaches engineering graphics and also tool design. And then what I'm going to do is to present the students of the first cohort. So when I call your name, please stand up and also state your safety commitment. So first one here is Brian Mateo.
I'm Brian Mateo. My personal safety commitment is to always maintain a clean workplace. And I'm currently employed in Lebron.
Oh. Hi, my name is Brian Mateo. My personal safety commitment is to always maintain a clean workplace, and I am currently employed at B. Braun, sharing expertise.
Good. Next one is Jacob with SCCI Industries.
Hello, my name is Jacob Havens. My personal safety commitment is to always keep a clean workplace, and I currently work for Sky Firearms.
Good. Next one is James Giesinger, Hudson Technologies.
I'm James Giesinger. My personal safety commitment is to always wear safety glasses when necessary, and I work for Hudson Technologies in Ormond Beach.
Good. Tanner Thacker with Germfree.
Hello, my name is Tanner Thacker. My personal safety commitment is to always wear the proper PPE in the required areas, and I work at Germfree.
Good. And then we have Tyler Cheatham with Doherty Manufacturing.
My name is Tyler Cheatham. My personal safety commitment is to keep a clean and organized workplace.
Thank you. Thank you. So now we're going to run a short video of, that's going to be Tanner. That's you, isn't it? Yep, Tanner. Yeah, Tanner, I'm working in Germfree.
Germfree, I'm a quality technician. I do anything from working on Kaizen events to inspections. I do random tests on these trailers and modules. It's a very different work environment here because it's not standard work every time. We're doing custom projects here, so it's a lot of varied experience.
concept, getting here, learning all types of different things. Think Term Free is a wonderful company. It's very progressive, and I love everything about it. There's tons of talented people that I'm working with and very intelligent people that I can ask questions all the time, and I'm learning everything from the beginning processes to the end processes, and it's giving me great experience to further my career in the future.
Good. Good. Any questions or comments?
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Dante. And again, a shout out to our own trustee, Sarah Doherty, who you know, took time on her own to go out and check out what they were doing and kind of get the ball rolling. And so thanks, Sarah. It's a success and more to come. Yeah. And next will be our approval and review of the annual equity report. And we're going to have Eric and Robin, Eric Barr, Eric D'Aquino and Robin Barr. It's been a long day. Sorry. You guys work well together.
Okay, Dr. Labasso and trustees, thank you for gathering today. Each year we put together an equity report that we submit to the state of Florida. Wanted to just take a minute to recognize all the contributors to this report. This is not a one-person report. Each person who's responsible for one of the areas in this report takes the time to review the analytics and write the narratives for this report. So just wanted you to know all the different people who are working on it. So this is an annual report that we do bring to you each year and ask you to please review it and approve it so that we can submit it to the state. It's an opportunity for us to take a look at the work that we're doing, both on the employment and the student side, related to equity, diversity, and inclusion. So again, this is a five-part report, and each area of the college is involved in this. There's a lot of review, a lot of discussion, and a lot of work that goes into this on an annual basis, and you just see this one snapshot. One of the areas that the report does measure is employment, and we want you to know that the college is in compliance with the EEOC and the Department of Labor in all areas measured within the report. Specifically, they ask us to look at executive and managerial positions, as well as faculty on an annual contract and faculty who are on a continuing contract or tenure. And we are in compliance. And Eric will go over the recruitment and student portion. There you go.
Okay, there we go. All right, wonderful. Good afternoon. I think I said good morning before, but good afternoon. As you most likely saw in the equity report, just going to highlight a few things about our student populations. You know, DSC experienced a slight decline in first-time and college enrollment. Overall enrollment numbers are down probably as a result of COVID. Talked a little bit about earlier, you know, and our lack of being able to be out and recruit and engage in the actual events. You know, however, as things are opening up and as we're moving past these 2 years, we are getting out and doing more activities, and, you know, we're going to see some efforts recovering. Black male first time in college numbers increased and overall black enrollment remains unchanged. College continues to address minority enrollment with a number of initiatives, and I'll touch upon that in a moment. And then Hispanic first time in college and overall enrollment continues to increase. This is obviously reflective of the growth in Volusia County. Just wanted to share with you some examples of some of our enrollment activities that we're engaging in. As a reminder, we have an through your support, and we thank you for that, is we have our underserved populations recruiter. Every time we get applications every day, and I mentioned this earlier in the day, he sends a personalized email to all applicants who are listed underrepresented and on their application. And within one business day, we have an 80% open rate. So that's really positive. As I mentioned earlier, you know, most of our emails We get about a 50 to 60% open rate. We get 80% on this. And as a result, students are coming and visiting. He's giving them personalized tours, personalized attentions, and connecting them with the resources to be successful on campus. We have a number of initiatives going on as well. VCAM Pathway to Prosperity Program, faith-based outreach initiatives. We're visiting the municipal housing authorities, talking to, you know, prospective students there and the folks who work there. And then some of the events that are coming up, some we've completed, some of them are coming up. Juneteenth is going to be back this year. Really excited to participate in that. We're looking forward to in-person Take Stock in Children fairs, but we've done the virtual fairs in the past. And then even yesterday, the Life Christian Academy came and set up a visit, and we toured them around our ATC and then brought them to our spectacular MOSI event that we had yesterday. Retention rates, overall retention rate for full-time students shows a slight decrease in male retention. Female retention remains relatively constant. Categories showing minor decreases from the previous year were students with limited English proficiency, black and white males. We are looking at those persistence and retention rates and some of our initiatives. As an example, the event we had yesterday with our MOSI event is just one of what will be several programming opportunities to increase our persistence of retention, bringing students to graduation. And, you know, our black and Hispanic graduation rates remain steady. Some of our overall institutional initiatives that have helped is, you know, I mentioned our minority recruitment specialist, but we also have a minority retention specialist, and that individual, Ms. Latoya Shannon, is doing an amazing job connecting with our students and, again, making sure they have that personalized connection and connecting to the resources to be successful. You know, talked about the community outreach and engagement, working with advising and, you know, putting our success coaching plans in place and giving students guided pathways to completion. Every student who comes in gets what we call a Falcon flight plan, so it shows them exactly what it takes to get them to on the road towards graduation. You know, we mentioned earlier, I mean, we started awarding financial aid February this year, earlier than ever. Typically do it in March. That gives students an opportunity to prepare and plan. Through COVID, we've had tuition balance assistance requests and emergency financial aid grants to help overcome some of the financial barriers that came through because of COVID, so we were happy to award that as well. And then going on to the other part of the equity report is athletics. And as we looked at our athletic program, we are in compliance with the U.S. Department of Education's Title IX requirements in all categories: staff, sports, facilities, scholarships, scheduling, and resources. So, are there any questions?
No, I have a question.
Trustee Holness.
It's an excellent report, and I appreciate the examples that were in the report. My frustration is that as I read the report, there were several pages would ask you to select one, and then I couldn't see what you selected. So is there any way in the reports, I know it's a template, I was told that it was a template, but is there any way that when we get a copy of the report, I can see exactly what it is that we are?
Are you talking maybe about the shaded portions of the report? Because that's frustrates us as well, but that's put into the report, but only the state can edit that. It's their review portion of the report. No. That's where those drop-down menus are.
I saw the drop-down menu where you had action, but there were just several pages where it had select one, go back up. Yeah. And I didn't know what you were selecting.
So that review is for the state. So when they look at the report, they're looking at, does the report include an analysis? And that's their evaluation piece. That's not something that we complete.
Okay, that's throughout the entire report. It wasn't just the one page.
It's throughout. And it's shaded a bit. And yes, it is frustrating and confusing to read, absolutely. But it's when the state looks at each of these reports, that's their evaluation within the report for them to give us feedback.
Okay, but I appreciate, I asked for examples, and I know that you've been including more examples in the report because we do so much, and we weren't telling our own story. So I
absolutely
do it's very well written.
You're right.
I'd just like to say that, you know, after looking at it and you see some of those figures that are down or whatever, that maybe there should be a big asterisk that's saying due to COVID, it reflects the downturn in numbers or whatever, because without that, then they're just going to say we're not doing what we're supposed to. But I think maybe put it in red.
Good suggestion. Thank you.
Could I have a motion then?
So moved.
Second.
Any other questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Approved.
Thank you, and that concludes my report.
Great. Thank you, Tom. Facilities. Yes.
Good afternoon. Our one item that we have today is last month you approved us to move forward with procuring the contract for the master plan architect. We have gone through our negotiations with them and are asking for your approval of the contract to move forward and start our master planning.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
IT.
Finance.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm skipping finance, Marty.
Yeah.
I figured you had a good report, so.
That was the quickest report.
Yes, it was.
That was a CFO to CFO thing.
Yeah. I'm trying to help him out.
Good What's assist. The score over there today? I'm not sure.
Good afternoon. We're going to take a look at the financial report through March 31st, 2022, three-fourths of the way through the fiscal year at this point, so we're at the 75% mark. And I'll just draw your attention to the first slide. This is our operating revenue budget versus actual. At this point in time, through March 31st, we've now collected $22.5 million, or 82% of our tuition and fee revenue, $36.7 million, or 69% of our state revenues, $4.6 million, or 73% of the other revenues, and the full 100%, $1.9 million of our board-approved transfers. In total, that represents $65.7 million, or 74% of our operational budget collected, right where we should be, you know, when we think about three-fourths through the year, 74% makes sense in total. Now flipping over to our expenditure budget versus actual, you'll see the first category, personnel. We've expended $43.6 million, or 65% of the budget. We've obligated $15.1 million, or 79% of our current expense budget. Of that, $11.8 million represents actual expenditures, and the other $3.3 million is still encumbered. We've now obligated $1.1 million of our capital outlay, which is 62% of the budget. Of that, $607,000 of actual expenditures and $530,000 of encumbrances. So in total, we have now obligated $59.8 million, or 68% of our operational budget, which is $88.5 million. You see, if we peel away the encumbrances, the bottom amount is actual expenditures to date is $56 million, and that's 63% of our budget. So both those bottom two, 68 and 63%, three-fourths through the year, both are good indicators that we should come in under budget from an expense standpoint. Okay, we showed this slide as our carry-forward fund balance in our operating fund, Fund 1. First several numbers don't change. You know, they're stagnant. It's $14.9 million with our starting point, last year's ending point. Of the 14.9, we have 5.2 is the mandatory state required reserve, 2.4 million is the board designated reserve, 7 million of unallocated reserves, and the 205,000 was tied to encumbrances that rolled over last year. So our net projected fund balance through March 31st is the 15.3 million. Okay, this gives a snapshot of our budget versus actual on the revenue side year over year. You can see we've collected 74% of our operating revenues, which I just alluded to. At the same point last year, we had collected 77% of the budget. So very consistent year over year, as we would expect. This slide, we show our three-year analysis of tuition and fees. I'll give you the percentage breakdown. It'll sound like it's an improvement from the last time I reported to the board, and I'll let you know why. In in-state tuition, we're the 15065 represents down 2.6% from the same time last year. And in total, the 22.4 million is about a 3.8% decrease from the same time last year. What I wanted to note is, you know, timing can play a difference in this, and the summer registration opened up a few days early this year. So a few days of March did get into this report, whereas last year that revenue would have been in the April report. So I just wanted to point that out. You know, things will level off as we report in the next couple of months. Now, with that said, you know, we did end the spring semester down about 2% compared to last spring, which was up from the fall semester. And the early signs of summer registration are looking positive so far. Taking a look at our actual expenses, budget to actual year over year, we've now expended 65% of the personnel budget versus 64% at this time last year. 79% of the budget is obligated through March versus 73% last year, and 62% obligated this year versus 80% of our capital budget. So again, fairly consistent among all categories. Okay, moving over to our capital project fund in Fund 7. We always show this slide as our major funding sources within Fund 7, and it shows the activity year to date through March. The recap of that particular slide is here. Beginning fund balance started the year with $45.4 million. We received $5.4 million in cash and appropriations. We've now expended or encumbered $8.4 million. The breakdown is $7.4 million of actual expenditures versus just under a million in encumbrances. And the fund balance per this report through March is now $42.4 million in Fund 7. Of that, just under $18 million committed to date, and the remaining $24.5 million uncommitted. Here's a recap of our major capital projects that take place in Fund 7. Same projects that have been on the list, I think, most of this fiscal year. I will draw your attention to, there was one typo on the Flagler Building 1 remodel and parking lot. That should say May 22, not March. And really, for all intents and purposes, I think that project is pretty much wrapped up. I think the only thing outstanding is security cameras that we're waiting on back order. And that concludes the financial report through March. My next item is a board informational item. We bring each board meeting. These are the payments that exceed $50,000 for each month. The first one is the month of February. And we also have the list for the month of March covering two months. That concludes the financial report, unless we have any questions, comments.
Great. Thank you, Marty.
Thank you.
And now on the IT.
Okay, good afternoon. So before you is an invitation to bid for the upgrade to the College Security Information Event Manager, funded by the HERF funds. This is a powerful tool for cybersecurity, has machine learning, enhanced analytics, just to name a few things. What it basically does is monitors and uses machine learning and predictive analytics to determine when systems or servers show abnormal behavior and can autonomously react to such events to stop the malicious attempt. Okay, let me give you an example. So let's say 2 a.m, the system is monitoring and sees heavy usage on a particular module, software, database, and compares it back to historically at that time during the week or whatever day it was, is that a normal occurrence? And as soon as it sees that it's not, it's going to go stop, closes that account, that connection, and shuts it down, gives us an alert. It's amazing for us because it's working 24/7, 7 days a week. So at night, it's basically doing their work, which is when, if there's bad actors, that's when they come to get you, right? So great tool, among many things that it also does for us. The ITB 22014 generated 5 responses from logarithm resellers. The bids reviewed with one firm considered non-responsive. Of the 4 that were left that were responsive, Cypher Security from Miami, Florida, PC Solutions from Miami, Florida, SHI from Miami, Florida, Tampa, Florida, V Prime Tech, Inc., Houston, Texas. So it is recommended that the District Board of Trustees approve the selection of the lowest bid from Cypher Security, which will allow us to negotiate and submit the contract or the final contract at our next board meeting. Questions? Yes.
On your system, you do have a backup generator or backup power?
Yes.
So in case, okay, that's what I'm concerned about.
Our data center is absolutely backed up.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. It is my pleasure to introduce some members of our college community that we are honoring today with a NYSOD Excellence Award. And I would like to ask those in the audience that are receiving this award to please come up here so we can all meet you and see you in person. So NYSOD is the National Institute for Staff and Organizational Development, which is honestly kind of a boring name for what it is, which is one of the most vibrant and exciting professional development groups in the world. It is an international organization, and it meets every year in Texas. About 2,000 people come together for this conference. And at it, they recognize the best practices in higher education, in community and technical colleges in the world. So every year we are invited to nominate Excellence Award winners, which now post-COVID will have the opportunity to go to Austin and attend the conference and be honored at a special dinner for Excellence Award winners from around the country. So as I introduce you, I just want to share a little bit of information about each of you. I'm going to start with Andrea Angel. Wave, Andrea. Yes, here she is. This Andrea is a professional of nursing. She is an expert in maternal and newborn nursing, which is a specific part of the curriculum that we need experts for. She's worked very hard to revise the curriculum in nursing to include simulation. She also started the Alpha Delta Nu Honor Society, and she serves as assistant chair in nursing. We are happy to honor you, Andrea. Thank you for all you do. Next is Dr. John Brady. Just a short time ago, it would have been Mr. John Brady, but he is a member of the UCF cohort that just earned his doctorate. So he is Dr. John Brady now. He's the director of the Office of Planning and Professional Development. This office offers a wide range of professional, a library, really, of professional development opportunities. John's office also organizes fall planning, spring planning, staff education days for all employees, an academic excellence symposium, which has been going on now 14 years, John, which is an outstanding conference that attracts faculty from all throughout the area. He also heads the and co-chairs the Planning Council, which is the group that brings the strategic plan to this board every 3 years. Thank you, John, for all you. Next, I want to introduce Karen Braley. Karen is the assistant chair in the School of Biological and Physical Sciences. Her chair, her supervisor, says there is nothing that she can ask that Karen will not figure out a way to do.
Karen teaches biology, chemistry, and microbiology. Just let that sink in. This is everywhere. She is currently working on her doctorate. She is one of our most innovative faculty members, and we are, and uses current events in her science classes to make the subjects come alive. So COVID, while horrible, has been a minefield for information in Karen's classes. Congratulations, Karen. Next, I'd like to introduce Steve Castaldi. Steve is the assistant chair in the School of Workforce, which is inside the Mary Carl College, and Steve teaches heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. And assistant chairs in the School of Workforce, they're very small in faculty size, so the assistant chairs do a lot of running that program, interviews the adjuncts, trains them, mentors them, et cetera. Steve has done a ton of work to revise the curriculum. He's done a lot of work on outreach, hosting expos, going to events for the community, and the result is that we have seen enrollment and completion increase in the HVAC program. So we are excited to look at that program for expansion in Deltona in the future, and he has just done a wonderful job mentoring both the students and his fellow faculty members. Thank you, Steve. Next, we have Dr. Colin Chesley. Colin is the Associate Vice President for the School of Health and Public Services. He leads, he led and managed, still does, the COVID Task Force Case Managers. It is Colin who wrote a lot of the procedures and the policies to ensure safety on campuses as we dealt with COVID-19. The case managers receive every report of an illness on campus and decide how to manage it. Colin wrote all the procedures for them, and he has just been such a positive and informative member of the COVID task force. Colin's also the work behind the upcoming Bachelor of Science in Cardiopulmonary Sciences. He'll be shepherding that through. And I just have to throw in, Colin has 5 kids, and he can manage all kinds of things. So thank you, Colin. Next, we have Patty Dyke. There's Patty's picture. Patty is a coordinator at the ATC. The ATC, you know, we've all been there. It's a beautiful building. It's also one of the most complex facilities that we have at Daytona State. It is full of a lot of large machinery. Things are electrified. Things are up in the air. They're being sawed, nailed, and 3D printed all the time. Patty manages large groups that want to meet there. Anytime you've been there for an event, Patty was behind getting it coordinated. Through COVID-19, Patty did a lot of the work in coordinating how to go back to face-to-face classes. Those classes could not go online. We had students entering certain entrances, checking in with instructors. The tools had to be sanitized between every usage. All of these things Patty helped write the procedures for and enforce, and that was they were a very cooperative group of students for sure. But Patty did so much work in there. She is often the smiling face that greets you when you show up at the ATC. Somehow she can just sense you've walked in and don't know where to go, and she materializes and walks you there. So we appreciate your work and your great attitude, Patty. Congratulations. Next is Dr. Amy Ringu, down there on the end. Until this year, Amy has been the chair of the School of Education, and she has been and continues to be a huge force in the absolute achievements and top-notch quality of that program. It is through Amy that a lot of the teachers of the year are our graduates. When you read about them in the paper, Amy is at every event celebrating them. She's done a ton of work on our reading certification, which is the reading endorsement, which has received approval from the state. Amy is also an inspector with the Teacher Prep Inspection, or TPI, group that goes and surveys programs and evaluates them. She is on a bunch of community boards, often in a leadership role, currently the president of the Junior League at Daytona Beach. That's one of a long list of things that Amy has done. Thank you, Amy, for all you've done for this program. And last but not least, just alphabetically, Gina Stafford. is the Associate Director in Academic Affairs in my office. She is over the Carl D. Perkins Career and Technical Education Grant. Every year we bring in about $900,000 in Perkins money, and it goes to technical programs. It is Gina that manages that money, including the purchase and placement of equipment that it buys, personnel that it funds. It is a huge operation, and it was made especially difficult during COVID because supply chain has made all of this acquisition more complicated. She works with the programs at the ATC, so some of the folks up here, Steve's nodding, she works very closely with and helps get support for these programs. That's why they are state-of-the-art and have this great equipment is because of her efforts. Perkins now requires something called a CLNA, Comprehensive Local Needs Assessment. It is a lot like what we were talking about earlier with the SACS reaffirmation. It's like a mini one of those, but it's constant, and it's in order to be eligible for Perkins, and Gina heads that up. It means we have to get letters from dozens of local employers endorsing our programs. She coordinates that whole effort. Gina also has a beautiful singing voice, and occasionally she blesses us with this gift, and for that and her just being a wonderful team player in academic affairs, we thank her, Gina. Thank you all so much. Tom, would you like to say a few words?
Just that, you know, when you talk about a team effort, this is the team that helps us do great things. So congratulations, and thank you for all you do.
Thank you very much. And, yeah, thank you.
Could we coax Gina into a song for us?
I'll try to find a link for you. And they're going to get to, if they would like, go to the NYSOD conference this year and enjoy it. So we hope we'll do that. Thank you.
No, that's a room. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Okay, constituent heads.
All righty. Again, great to celebrate the team. So for our constituent heads, we're going to have Adrienne Tolles-Williams for our SGA. Here she is.
Okay, who's second? Who follows her?
Yeah.
Put her names in a hat and draw it.
Yeah, that's right.
Hi, everyone. Before I get started with my report, I would just like to say just another general congratulations for the FAME program students and for the NYSOD award recipients. I think it goes without saying that an education is nothing without the students and the professors and the educators. And I've always believed that it is like the professors and the teachers and the leaders that like make or break an education and could be the reason you either love math at the end of the semester or hate it, right? So being able to inspire students and educate them and support the next generation is always an admirable career path. So I would just like to say thank you for that and congratulations. But on to my report. So the first time I gave a report to the Board of Trustees was 7 months ago. My mission then was to gain the insight into the thoughts, needs, and goals of the student body. That has since evolved to actively seeking to grow the sense of community at the college, making the ability for students to get involved more accessible, and taking every opportunity along the way to reflect and grow. In the past 7 months, I have worked alongside incredible students, mentors, and campus leaders, and realized that the possibilities of what we can do and what we can achieve in any amount of time is limited only by our imagination. In the beginning of the semester and now, I released a survey to the SGA board on our progress, or just as a way to reflect on our progress as leaders and as students from the fall through the spring. So you'll see throughout my presentation today, I've included a bit of that feedback to share with you all. So since my last report, the student government has concluded our Black History Month Music Deep Dive project and prepared to launch the Spring Beats Music Deep Dive. The former has collected more than 9 hours worth of song submissions from DSC students across all of our campuses. After spring break, our officers hosted an academic advising week session and a table at Irish History Day as a way to connect with students and recruit them and encourage them to get involved on campus with SGA. Things got a bit messy during Color Wars, but that did not stop us from joining in with the discussion on women's history and gender equality with Student Life at the end of the month. We are really excited to start celebrating Earth Day next week with our students, and then to invite them as well to join us to our next meeting, where we will be hosting a workshop with SMA Healthcare about mental health awareness. That week as well, on the 19th and the 20th, the voting will be taking place for the next Student Government Association Executive Board for the 2022-2023 academic year. And I'm really excited to see all of the new and innovative ideas that are being brought to the Student Government Association next term. And I would just like to take this moment to introduce you all to Jose Lopez, who had joined me in the back as he is the president-elect for the next term. And I just wanted to give him an opportunity to meet you guys and watch the Board of Trustees work, because this is really an amazing opportunity to be a part of. Lost my place. I got so excited. The spring semester, we will be wrapping up with a few fun events, including our Battle of the Branches ping pong tournament set to kick off April 25th at Flagler Palm Coast and ATC, leading up to the finals that will be hosted here in Daytona Beach on May 3rd. I know a few of those dates are subject to change as we're working out all of the logistics, but those are where we're aiming towards now. And then we will be hosting on that Friday, the 29th, a Scholar Social Creative Writing in collaboration with the College Writing Center to encourage the use of the Writing Center as a resource for students, and also to use the theme, Our Greatest Lessons, to inspire them to reflect on the greatest lessons for the spring semester and share that in the form of poetry, short stories, songs, and other forms of creative writing. We also plan to be at the Discovery Day on April 30th. Incoming students will have an opportunity to meet with myself, former SGA President Hilton Smith, and the President-elect Jose Lopez, to discuss the benefits of getting involved in SGA and in other organizations like CKI, who came to one of our previous meetings and is the world's largest student-run collegiate service organization, who is also looking to begin a chapter here at Daytona State. So there is an advisor interested, and we're just trying to garner some more student support because it just seems like a really amazing way to continue to support and develop future leaders. On May 9th, we will be having our club awards banquet, inviting clubs to share in a red carpet moment to celebrate their work from the semester, give their members some special recognition, and to show off what makes their club unique. So last weekend, we traveled to Florida State College Jacksonville Kent campus for the FCS SGA year-end conference. We were able to meet different student government board members from colleges across the state of Florida, hear about the projects they've been doing on their campuses, inaugurate the next state board, and we were able to participate in various educational sessions. Before we adjourned, they asked us, what message will we bring back to our campuses? And my answer was this. Planning is necessary in any project, but it is also easy to get so caught up in the planning and the questions that we do not act. We can spend our entire lives waiting and planning until we feel we are ready, when we are already more capable and prepared than we give ourselves credit for. And amid all our planning and acting and planning, it is just as important to take in the natural and intentional pauses in life and to take a deep breath before pressing forward. It was Michelangelo who said that the greater danger for most of us isn't that our aim is too high and we miss it, but that we set it too low and we reach it. During those natural and intentional pauses, I often found myself reflecting on the growth we've experienced this past year as students and as leaders. I think about the plans that didn't go as planned and the plans that did. And I look at the objectives of the Student Government Association, and I frequently ask myself, did we accomplish what we set out to do? 7 months ago, my mission as president was simply to get to know and understand the student body that I represent. These 7 months affirmed for me that success is not as simple as checking an item off of a list and being done with it. It is the continuous reimagining of our objectives and the steps that we take to prepare future generations to propel those goals further than we could ever imagine. The student government hit the ground sprinting this semester, rising to the challenges presented by COVID-19 as we worked to get back to normalcy and try to have an active presence on campus. And with that being said, I would like to take a moment to, I'm sorry, I meant to show you guys this quote a little bit earlier. I got a little bit into what I was saying, but I want to take a moment to share with you the graduating members of the 2021-2022 Executive Board, as well as a few of their plans going after Daytona State. Our vice president plans to transfer to Stetson University to major in English. Our secretary has a few options, but she is set on getting her bachelor's in marine biology. Our vice president of Deltona, Michael Perry, is transferring to the University of Florida to get his bachelor's in advertising and persuasive messaging. Our vice president in Flagler Palm Coast is transferring way out of state to Minnesota to focus on business, entrepreneurial, and intercultural communications. And then our vice president, Austin Pauly, is a bit torn between majoring in cybersecurity at Stetson or aerospace engineering at UCF. Our senator of student activities, the youngest dual enrolled member of our board this semester, will be transferring to University of Central Florida to get her bachelor's in health service administration. And then our parliamentarian, Taya Starts, will be going to the University of Florida for agricultural communications and leadership. I am unbelievably proud of what we've been able to accomplish this year. And so I would like to conclude my report by saying thank you sincerely for all that you do to enable and to support us as leaders. And I would just like to leave you with a bit of the feedback I got about what SGA has taught the board this semester about leadership.
Frank, good luck. Administrative Council is next. Good job, Adrian.
Come on, Frank.
Count on you. My name is Frank Mercer, and my personal safety commitment is to always use handrails and stairways, and I will be brief. I'm fortunate to be standing in for Alicia Alexander, who's the chair of the Administrators Council, as vice chair. And the Administrators Council enjoys every year helping with the 5K run as part of our homecoming activities, and we plan to continue to do that. Earlier in the year, the administrators expressed a desire to do something outside of the college, a community service project. And so we have two opportunities that we're pursuing along those lines. First of all, many of you may be aware of Homes Bring Hope, part of the Food Bring Hope initiative, coming up on Saturday, April the 30th. The Administrators Council is going to have a team there to help do a little cleanup, some light yard work around a home in the 32114 area code. And that'll just help build a little camaraderie, help us to get to know each other as administrators outside the scope of the college, and we're looking forward to that. Also, the Administrators Council agreed to help prepare a greeting card for Council on Aging clients to be given to Council on Aging clients at their dining sites and through Meals on Wheels. Oftentimes, Meals on Wheels recipients, the only person they see all week is that person who delivers them a meal and is also there to help do a wellness check on them as well. And what a great way we felt to brighten the day of Council on Aging clients and to get a nice greeting card from an administrator at Daytona State College. Carrie Verge, director of our Adult Education Division, working with a student in our digital imaging, interactive media and digital imaging program. Emma is her name. Carrie and Emma working together are designing three greeting cards. We'll get those printed here very soon. And then we'll have lunch around all the campuses for administrators to come during lunch and sign as many of the cards as we can. There'll be a little over 500 cards that we'll give out. So we're looking forward to those two opportunities. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Frank. Good, but not that close. So no report this month from our career employees, John Penny. So next we have up Faculty Senate, Paul Capps.
Good
Good afternoon. So, Faculty Senate works hard to provide the best possible education and best possible educational experience for our students. That's what we're here for, right? Our agenda is full as we go in these last couple of months of the semester. We're working with Dr. Cheryl Cohen and her the director of division, the director of online studies, and her peer review committee to make sure that our online courses moving forward will continue to offer the best educational experience with the highest academic standards, accessibility, right, for students with learning differentialities, and still be a course that each professor feels like is their course, right, and enabling every professor to use their own experience and professionalism to produce a great online course. We're also working with Dr. Alicia Ellert, the vice president for, the College of Arts and Sciences, the School of Arts and Sciences, we're looking at book affordability, as always, right? That's how can we provide, again, textbooks that every professor feels good about, and it enables us to build a great course around, but still be as cost management, as cost effective as possible for our students. So those are two of the big items. The third item that we'll roll into next year, Faculty Senate will be offering a scholarship to a student. Next year we hope to award it at next year's awards convocation. And so we're still kind of working out the basis of that scholarship. It'll be a combination of course, high academic standards, but along with citizenship, community service. And then lastly, going into next year, we will be working with Dr. Locklear and Brian Babb and making sure that all of the faculty are completely aware of all the new legislation coming down as it affects us in our classroom and making sure we stay inside the lines, right? So that's it for our report. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Paul. And for professional counsel, Billy Joe Dunaway.
Last but not least.
Put you first again.
Okay. You could have put me after Adrian and that would have just been, right? But see, she works for me, so I hire the best, right? We hire the best, only the best. Okay, so professional counsel will have its next meeting tomorrow. We are actively recruiting a secretary for our elections, which will happen next month. So we'll go through a next cycle of elections for professional counsel. CEA wasn't here, so we are happy to be pairing with them on a fundraising effort. They're going to have a May 4th walking event that we're going to try to do something with. So I thought he would say something about it, but he wasn't here, so I'm going to plug that a little bit. We're also really proud to acknowledge our professionals who have gotten some awards this month. I know this is like awards month. Everybody gets them. And I apologize to the professionals whose names I'm going to mangle right now. But Josh Ponatowski received the Sterling Award at the convocation, which was beautiful. Both Aaron Sunday and Lita Nieves got Outstanding Employee Awards this month. And Professional Counsel always does a Spotlight Award. And we're proud to announce that Cassandra Wilmore is our Spotlight Employee of the Month this time. So. Thank you. That's my report for today.
Great. Well, thank you, everyone. And I'm conscious of the time here, so just real briefly, I want to say thanks to everybody. We had a packed agenda. Enjoyed all the updates. The retreat was great. Always like looking over the mission statement again on the screen there and on our paper. But, you know, it's great to see that as we go through these agendas, you really find those things, emphasizing student success, embracing excellence and diversity. And so appreciate all that everybody here in the room does. It means a lot to the board. And I know we all go to bed at night not worried about Daytona State College because of the leadership and the faculty and staff. So thanks for all you do. Ready?
Just a ditto. It was a wonderful retreat. It's amazing. So tell Dr. Lavasco all the things that we're able to accomplish and the wonderful faculty that we have. It's greatly appreciated. I enjoyed learning more about the FAME program. Sarah has talked so much about it. I want to thank you for bringing the students here. And it's a wonderful opportunity. We look about their employment, and you can see that it just kind of leads naturally into the employment opportunities. And Frank, you're right. I was a mill driver for Mills on Wheels for about 20 years, and you're right. So many times you are the only person that they see. And it was a wonderful program, and you're able to check on the health. So I'm so glad to hear that you're doing that program, and the cards would mean so much to them. Thank you.
Thank Dr. Lobasso, his entire staff. I'm tired.
Randy?
Just again, it really was. I looked at the agenda when and the time we had allotted for this when Lynn sent out the package. I'm going, man, that's impossible. But it really was, I don't feel like there was a moment wasted. So well done by everybody. Congratulations to all the award winners. And we'll just look forward to the continued growth of the organization. Thank you.
Go Falcons.
Go Falcons.
Lloyd.
Again, thanks so much, Dr. Lobasso, you and your staff. It was a wonderful board retreat, wonderful meeting. People are smiling, people are happy. We're getting back into the groove of things, and I really appreciate your faculty and staff, and you, the leader of this team. Thank you so much.
Bob?
All right. Great retreat, great progress, and great things to come. That's it.
Gary?
Well, number one, the textbook affordability part, you know that's near and dear to my heart, and just great job. That's all I can say on that. Adrienne, you ever notice every year we think, wow, this SGA president, how are we going to replace them? And good luck, Austin. but we say that every year, and yet we just, you know, the pipeline just keeps filling right back up with great leadership in our SGA group. So, and ditto to what you said, Betty, about the FAME thing. I wish Sarah was here right now, because really, I remember when we had our New Smyrna meeting when we were first discussing this program, and seeing the outcome now on the other side is just outstanding. And finally, I have a South State business card, I have a Daytona State business card, and now I have a Songwriters Festival business card to hand out to each of you. Seriously, I want to thank Tom Lobasso and Jim Marandino, Chris Wainwright, trying to think of Louis Mercer, so many others. You know, Mr. Lombardo over there, he's going to be buying all sorts of tickets. I'm confident of that. I still have more cards here. But just to let you know the connection, we started this 4 years ago, and it showcased Daytona State also at the same time. But also we started with 9 songwriters, and this year we've got 39 hit songwriters coming to town. And on Thursday night, just to walk you through very quickly, and I apologize if I take up too much time here, but I want to just try to do this real quickly, is Thursday night, Curb School of Music, actually Thursday afternoon from 3 to 4:30, we're sending 2 of our hit songwriters, who have over 10 number one hits just between the two of them, to our Curb School of Music to perform, as well as do a Q&A with our students that are graduating this year from that school. Friday night, we have a special program at Daytona State for the Gold Star Mentors, where we'll be auctioning off an autographed guitar by some big-name artists like Billy Currington and Sammy Kershaw and Aaron Tippin and some others, possibly Amy Grant even. That program supports military children and close loved ones that have lost a military person in their lives due to suicide, as well as passing away while in service. And what they do is they bring them a guitar and give them lessons as a therapeutic way of coping through that whole process. So we'll be auctioning that guitar off on Friday night for our veteran support. And then Saturday we have a book signing, and if you want to Google, you will not believe this guy. His name's J.T. Harding. He's got a book that's on sale in our bookstores right now. It's called Party Like a Rockstar. And it's really a story of his life, which is amazing. He was adopted at birth. Later learned as an adult that his dad was Jay Thomas, who was on the TV show Cheers. And has evolved into a phenomenal songwriter with multiple number one hits, like Smile with Uncle Cracker and Beers and Sunshine with Darius Rucker, just a couple of those. But also about as colorful of a character as you will ever want to meet. And when you Google him, you'll see what I mean when you see his suit that he wears. But he's going to do a book signing at our Palm Coast campus bookstore from 4 to 5 on Saturday, April 30th for that book. And it's also available in the book. I just read it this past week while I was on vacation. Great book. And then finally, Sunday, Dolly Parton Imagination Library. We're going to have all the songwriters autograph a guitar. We're going to raffle that off for the Dolly Parton Imagination Library and the Early Learning Coalition of Flagler and Volusia Counties, too, with all the proceeds going to that. So that's what we're doing at the amphitheater on the Daytona State College campus. And I thank you for your time. But I just thought y'all would want to know that the great connection that we have with Daytona State with this whole thing, and I believe that more people have learned about Daytona State and the multiple campuses that we have, too.
And happy birthday, Loretta Lynn, for turning 90 today.
Yeah, she did turn 90. That's right. You read the News Journal also, right? The birthdays.
Again, thanks, everyone. We will adjourn the meeting and see everyone next time.